You must be reading Galatians. All right.
Are there six chapters in Galatians?
Yeah.
I believe so.
All right. We're at Faith Bible Church. It's Thursday night Bible study. I'm Paul A. Bobek III. We're teaching through the book Ephesians, and we've jumped off at we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, and we're doing a spiritual blessing series. One of the things that why many believers don't know how to live the Christian life, they don't know who God has made them. All them spiritual blessings, they possess them, you know, and by faith we appropriate, you know, we take a hold of it, you know. But if you don't know what you got, you know, you're just trying to perform the Christian life in your own strength. So I think this is a very good series, and it's our spiritual blessings, but it's what we possess. It's our identity in Christ. Every believer, there's no believer up here or down here. We all have this package of all these spiritual blessings. Now there's different stages in growth. Some have, you know, and it's not only been under teaching, it's application of teaching. And so some are, you know, have grown more or farther along. But all of us have the same package. And it's just, we're opening up that package, that wonderful present by grace, and seeing what they are. And so I hope you get blessed tonight. And thanks for coming out. You encourage me. And I hope tonight will encourage you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Father, for your grace. Without that, we wouldn't have a chance with you. I'm so glad, Father, for myself and for every believer that we're not under law, because we couldn't perform it. We can't be perfect. And that's what the law demanded. It demanded us to perform. And we can't produce what you call us to do. It's only as you've blessed us, declared us righteous when we trusted in Christ, and you blessed us with the life of Christ, His Spirit in us now, that lives His life out of us. And teach us to walk in your Spirit, Father, that we might glorify you, that we might truly enjoy that wonderful life we have in Christ. And I pray your Holy Spirit will be the real teacher here tonight, Lord. I'm just offering my availability to you, and that's all we all can do, and that's true worship. You said in view of your mercy to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's our logical, reasonable act of service, which that word means worship. And so we pray Christ will be glorified. We'll know you and your heart towards us, Father, in a better way. And that we would be fired up, God, to share this with others. Other believers, that they, unsaved people, you said that all men be saved. And then you want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that we'd share the gospel of pure grace with unbelievers, having a heart for them, your heart, and also that we would share right division, share that mystery that was held secret in your heart, but revealed through the Apostle Paul. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Tonight we're going to be dealing with, we're going to be in part one of this, because there's so much in this that I wasn't going to get it in one night. And so we're going to look at, we are objects and recipients of God's grace. And so there's a whole lot to swallow in that, if you want. So we'll probably be doing it for, I would imagine, 3 weeks. And I don't mind, you know, taking the time, because sometimes you want to get through something and get on to the next. But, you know, I used to be like that with books sometimes. You know, I get into one book, I've been wanting to read it, and then all of a sudden I'm looking at the other book and I ain't even done with this book and I'm jumping there. And so we lose a lot of what we would have grasped. So every believer is an object of God's grace. Go to Ephesians 1, 6 and 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7.
Ephesians 1,
verse 6 and 7. to the praise of the glory of His grace, the Father's we're talking about, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So there's a lot here. I could do probably 3 weeks just on this verse. Well, it's to the glory of God's grace. Why is it to His glory? Because it's all His grace. Why we're saved, why we're forgiven, redeemed. All these spiritual blessings are, God knew what He was doing. He purposed it in Christ before the world began. See, you can't go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's Israel. Christ said, I only came to the what? Lost sheep of the house of Israel. I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. And He gave them, He was dealing with them in signs and wonders, wasn't He? And even after that, after His death, burial, and resurrection, He's dealing with Israel in signs and wonders. Healings, right? Resurrecting the dead, speaking in tongues. It says Jews seek a sign. You know, but for our dispensation, what's it say? We live by what? Faith, not by sight. The Israel live by sight. They could know if they were in God's will. If you look under law, God said, if you do these things, you'll be blessed. They were pretty much physical in origin. And, we went over that, so I won't go back to that. But if you don't, you'll be cursed. See, so Israel could know if they're in God's will, if He was blessing them. You know, and if they weren't, if they were sick, say, there was a curse with the law too. He said He would put, I believe it was scabs, that was, or boils. It's one thing. So, ain't you glad you ain't under law? Paul says, Romans what, 6:14? We're not under law, we're under grace. For Israel, they had to do things to be blessed. For our program, do we have to do anything?
No.
What's our verse we start on? Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We got it up front. You know? So we see to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. We can't go by our feelings, and we can't go by are even things we do or don't do. Because if we do, we're getting ourselves under law, if you want, our own legalism, our performance. How are we accepted to God? Did it say by our confession we're accepted to God? Did it say by our turning from all of our sins we're accepted to God? Where are we accepted to God? To the praise of the glory of His grace, where it He has made us accepted in what? The Beloved, in Christ. And because we're in Christ, Christ is God's Beloved, isn't He? And we're also dearly loved children. That's how God sees us. And it's so important to notice, because Satan attacks our minds, you know, when we don't act consistent with... and who does all day long? Let's take the law, okay? What's the law say? Love God with what? All your heart, your mind, your soul, right? Who does that 24 hours a day? You know? We're lucky if we're doing it sometimes during the day. You know, when we're focused on Him, and I think responding to His grace, thinking about all them blessings and how undeserved it is. You know, we're loving them with our heart and our mind, you know? And when we're studying, when you come out, you're loving them with your mind because you're wanting to learn more about Him, His grace. Just not what He can do for us. It's what He did for us already. And so we can know His heart. See, it's His love and His heart. His agape, unconditional. He loves us in the Beloved at other places. And He made us accepted in the Beloved. So we're accepted at all times in Christ. Remember, justification is such an important doctrine. Justification means what? What's the word justified mean?
To make right?
Declare righteous. So God, the moment we trusted in Christ, He declared Now other people, and even we would say, well, I'm not righteous. But God says, I declare you righteous because He placed us into Christ. And when we came into Christ, His righteousness, when God looks at a believer, every single believer, I don't care if you're the worst sad sack Christian in the world, He sees you completely righteous in Christ. Now, how are you justified? By faith, right?
Right.
You're saved by grace, through faith. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Paul says that how many times? So you're justified all by, what's grace mean? Unmerited favor. You don't work, if it's works, Paul says, it ain't grace. If it's grace, it ain't works. So, how many messages do you hear not to be right, you know, to make yourself right with God, right? Are you ready to meet how was that put? I just heard it. That old saying, I can't think what it was, but it was, have you made yourself ready to meet God? Huh? It's not that. It was, but the idea is, you've done some things to prepare yourself. The only thing we need to do is, for salvation, and also to know we stay justified. It's not just a one-time act. It's happened one time with continuing results. So, because you'll hear Satan so subtle, he mixes legalism, law, works with grace. You know? Turn from all your sin, right? And commit your life to God. Don't you hear that? You got to repent of all your sins. You got to confess. Now, to stay righteous before God. Now what's taught? I got to, because 1 John 1:9, that isn't to a believer. We went through the whole chapter, remember? In context, that's to an unbeliever. Okay? So what are they teaching? And Satan's very subtle, and he keeps believers in this stage of what? Continually trying to make myself right with God. I went to a church that I left, but I met with the pastor before I left. Because I didn't want to just go and, you know, some people leave a church and then they're talking about the pastor and the church and, you know, I want to do it in a mature, loving way. So I asked him, could I meet with you, Pastor? And he said, yeah, we had lunch. And he said, yeah, what'd you want to talk about? So I says, well, you know, I think what you're teaching, you're sincere. I don't think he's deliberately teaching some wrong, you know, I'm not judging on his heart. And we should always give people the benefit of a doubt, though some are hard to give them that benefit, but we can't judge a heart. We can only judge teaching, you know, motive you can't judge. And I says, I think you're very sincere about what you're teaching, but I think you're sincerely wrong on some things. And he goes, well, you know, pastors don't usually like that, especially if they got a little bit of pride. He says, well, give me an example. And I said, all right. And this is why I'm using this as an example here. I says, when, from my understanding of Scripture, when I trusted in Christ, I was made right with God. I was declared righteous, justified. And I said, I hear you each week telling people to walk the aisle, come up to the altar, you know, if it would have been in the Old Testament, you would have been dragging a lamb, you know, which I didn't say that to him, but, you know, that was the same idea. And I says, so you're saying make myself right with God every week, and you're encouraging people to do that when Scripture tells me I'm right with God. And he goes, well, Paul, how am I going to get people to deal with their sins? See, control.
Yeah.
See?
Fear too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I says, well, I'm, at that time I wasn't a pastor. I was after that for a couple years. But I said, I'm not a pastor, but if I was, it wouldn't be my job to control people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job would be to tell them who they are, give them the Word of God, give them the grace of God, give them the commands that Paul gave us, and encourage them to obey them commands of grace, instructions, right? And he's like, instead of thinking about what I'm saying, This is where sometime a pastor can be prideful. He says, well, maybe you should find another church to go to. And I says, well, I plan on doing that, but I didn't want to leave until I had spoken to you. So I did the right thing, you know, and I left quietly, you know, I didn't make a big thing. But that's what Satan does. It's like, you got to walk an aisle, you got to confess your sins, you have to do this or don't do that, you know, to be righteous before God. And so believers, what? They don't know what they have, right?
Because it's works, not grace.
Amen. It's works, not grace. And Satan's so subtle, mm-hmm. you know. So we see we're accepted in Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Did it say we get? No. We possess the forgiveness of sins according to our confession. Is that what it says?
No.
According to what?
The riches of His
grace. The riches of His grace. There's riches in God's grace. We're all rich. You know, we are so much better off than Howard Hughes ever was. Or that's someone good to sort of think about. Howard Hughes had all the money in the world. Remember Howard Hughes? And that towards the end, he was a young, up-and-coming, you know, just business guy out there. He knew how to make money. But at the end of his life, what was he? He had long fingernails. He was just so afraid of germs. He'd keep a thing over his, you know, for breathing, his whatever, like a doctor's mask. He didn't want, you know, to be around people. He stayed in his bed and it was nasty and dirty. I mean, this guy's his thinking. Just see, you can have all the things in the world, but they can't keep you sound, you know. But we have, what Scripture say? We haven't been given the spirit of fear, Paul told Timothy, because I think he was getting a little bit intimidated. Sometimes we can get like that. We start getting threatened or talked about. And so Paul was telling them, we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of what? Courage, love, and a sound mind. So when you get fear coming, fear of what? What people will say? I'm losing friends. In the Christian community, they talk about us. They talk about me. He's one of them Bollingerites. Which Bollinger was an extreme. He was a hyper-dispensationalist. He went all the way extreme to Acts 28, that position. It's extreme. He started out right, and he just, I don't know what happened. He's so bright, but and IQ don't always do it. But they'll label you as a straw man. You know, you follow him. No, mid-Acts dispensationalists don't follow Bollinger. You know, he wrote some things that are good. You know, but when it comes to that view, he went extreme. You know, so they'll put you in this category of, they can't debate you scripturally. Because if you know the Word of God, you know how to rightly divide it. And it's always, let's call names then. You know, it could be, you could get threatened. You know, look at people in other countries being believers. You know, and so Satan will, first he tries to disqualify the message, if you want. The message of the mystery that was given to Paul. And how does he do that? Next in Israel's program. Look at the Galatians. You mentioned that earlier. He's, you know, they were turning to what? Another gospel. It was a gospel, but what gospel? Law, circumcision, Israel's gospel. See? It wasn't a gospel of the grace of God. And today you see that in what? Not only Pentecostalism and charismaticism, if you want. That I love my brothers and sisters and that, so I'm not attacking them. But you'll see that Israel's program was filled with healing, sign, wonders. Tongues were actually assigned for them. Who would believe that God, apart from Israel, went to the Gentiles? Because Paul left the synagogue in Corinth, and where'd he go? Right next door, right? Now, these were carnal believers, right? Would they believe God's went to the Gentiles when they seen the signs that were theirs? And so for a time, you see, it says, Paul said, when that which is complete, when Israel, by the end of the book of Acts, was completely set aside, Paul said it was given to me in Colossians 1:25 or 26 to complete the Word of God, perfect. So when the Word of God was completed, you didn't need temporary, immature signs. Now we have the completed Word of God. Because how do you know? See, that's not a real good way. You know, I was even thinking on the way here, how did they even know God like when you did? Because Hebrews said God spoke in the past in many and various ways. He spoke through the prophets, right? Visions, dreams, prophecies, you know. Well, I was thinking, how did they know with even you? Because Satan's got a voice too, you know. So there was a way that they knew, but now, how would you know if it's God or Satan? I heard people say, oh, you just know in your heart. Well, the heart is deceitful above all things, wicked and deceitful. You can't know that from that. The Word of God, this is where God speaks to us. And it can't be changed. You know, you can have variances and versions, but overall, it's the same message. So we see it's the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of God's grace. That's to every believer. Ephesians 1:3. Well, this is the verse we started this series on, and we'll continue in verse 4 after we go through this series. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. You see that? Not since. Not the prophetic program that was known since the beginning of the world that Peter said, that Joel spoke about, Ezekiel, all through the Old Testament that Christ spoke about in His earthly ministry, right? Ours, that was known since the beginning of the world. Pentecost was not something new. It wasn't the birth of the body of Christ. That was a continuation, a fulfillment of that prophetic program. We live in, what Paul said, Ephesians 3, a time called the mystery. In Colossians it says the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's unsearchable. You can't find it anywhere before Paul. And we don't lift Paul up, magnify him. He done the self. When he talks about his own self, he's very humble. When he talks about his office, see, it was very important to Paul because his office was given to him by Christ. Christ gave him that revelation of the mystery that was hidden in the heart of God, that was unsearchable. But with the raising up of Paul, that's when the body of Christ started, Acts chapter 9. That's when the dispensation of grace started. Paul said, I was saved as a pattern for those who would come after. How was he saved? Completely by grace, right? He was Christ's worst enemy, if you want. And he's perfect picture of the body of Christ. He's a Jew and a Gentile. He had Roman citizen and he's a Jew. And in the body of Christ, what? There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's both, right? You got to come to Christ now through His blood. It's no longer, like John said, I write these things in John chapter 19, I believe, that you might believe, that you might be saved. Or wait, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you might be saved, right? What did they have to believe back then? That Christ was the Messiah. Then what did they have to do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, right? Then also they had to what? Sell all their stuff and follow Christ? See, these were all things in that program. Yeah. They were saved by grace too. Anybody's and any dispensation was saved by grace, only by what Christ did. But see, they didn't know when the 12 apostles were preaching for over 2 years. Okay, we're not going to go to it because I got a lot more to do. This is a little side note. Christ sent them out, what? Healing the sick, right? Casting out demons. They were doing this for about over 2 years. And when he told them, the pastor went over this, I believe it was last week. When he told them he was going to, in Luke 18, you could put this for your notes, 34 to 36, he told them he's going to die. He's going to rise. And it said they didn't understand none of these things. And they're preaching the kingdom gospel. He sends them out. Go preach the gospel of the kingdom, right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. You see, that wasn't the gospel of grace. And what do so many, Satan's so subtle, it's in the Bible, right? So let's use the Bible. And people just go back there and they want to bring things into the dispensation of grace. It's this confusing message. See, all that stuff was known. Our gospel was hid. Praise God. Okay, we're at blessed with every spiritual blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, not when we do something, He has, past tense, blessed us with all or every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's why you can't lose it. It's in Christ. It's in heavenly places. Now people go, see, it's only in the heavenlies. We don't... On the other hand, you know, most Christians are looking for all these physical blessings, you know, and either name it and grab it and grab it, you know. They think faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and that's even twisted. But there's verses for that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, early Acts, you know, about healing and things. But for us, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So we got to know where our instructions, where our promises. Oh, what I want to say, because it always says, also says where God will meet all of our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. You know, and the idea, I didn't write down the verse, but it's only spiritual blessings that we should pray about. You know, spiritual things. But it says in Christ. But Christ is what? The head, right? We're in Him. We're the body, right? Okay, Christ is seated. How are we seated in the heavenlies with Christ? Because He's the head. We're one with Him. We're connected what? By His Holy Spirit. So that doesn't mean God can't bless us with some physical things. I'm not saying we're not guaranteed like Israel. We can't go to there. He said He'll meet our needs. Every need that we have is met in Christ. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing, but also we need to work, don't we? You know, so when I'm out of work, I pray God open the door, but I don't sit there, okay, God's just going to send that job to me. I get out there, you know, and you look for a job, you know. It talks about in Corinthians about how God provides seed to the sower and bread for food, right? You know, so God provides for our needs, I believe, physical and spiritual. But mostly today, like in Israel's program, it was physical blessings. For us, the main is the spiritual blessings. And then we'll never change. You know, physical things come and go. So it's all in Christ. Let's go to Romans 3, 23 and 24. What I was kind of getting to with that, when it says in heavenly places in Christ, well, Christ is in heavenly places, seated at the right hand of the Father, right? But we're seated with Him, but He's also here in us too, right? So don't get, this is where some people go all the way this way, some people go all the way that way. I think you need to have a balanced view of spiritual and physical blessings. You know, why do we give God thanks when we eat? Doesn't Paul say, you know, if we give thanks, everything's good? Why would you give God thanks if He ain't provided you food? Right? That would be kind of...
And that's a physical blessing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. You know, but again, He provides for our needs, not our wants. Because our wants, we think what we want, we need. You know? Okay, Romans 3, 23 and 24. Before I read it, let me read this. Grace is the extension of God's love towards us and manifests His agape love, which is what? Unconditional love to us. Romans 3. We don't deserve it. For all have sinned. Now that's not including Christ. He's talking about the human race, because Christ never sinned. So you always got to take things in context. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us, being, ain't you glad God don't stop there? Being justified, declared righteous, freely, Dorian. In the Greek, it's Dorian. What's that mean? Remember when they said without a cause? When it said they hated Christ, Dorian, without a cause. They shouldn't have hated him, right? He was the most loving person. He came actually to die for them, to bring light, and what? They reject him, the majority, and want to kill him, right? And the same thing, Dorian, being justified, Dorian, declared righteous, with no cause in us. How? By his grace. And how was he able to do that? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. You know, we wouldn't have had a chance. You know? And this is, like I said, every believer is declared righteous. God's grace unto us, you know it's going to be shown for all eternity? Go to Ephesians 2:7. Where chapter happened. I always say it's better in church hopping, right? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For all eternity and ages to come. Paul talks about one good way to rightly divide the word, a very simple way, I think, that God sets it out. In verse, let's see. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision, and the flesh made without hands, that at that time, so what time passed, right? Ye were without Christ, that's such a sad thing, and without God, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. See, they didn't have nothing coming. The Gentiles, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, see how sad that is, and without God in the world. But now, ain't you glad for the but nows of God? So you see, in time past, when's that? Before Paul got saved, because you've seen before that there was this distinction for Jews and Gentiles, right? The circumcision, non-circumcision. The law was in effect. If you kept reading it, you would see that middle wall of partition was up. What's the middle wall of partition?
Jew and Gentile?
No. It separated Jew and Gentile. First it was circumcision. Remember God gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, and then I believe it was 430 years later, the law came beside and reinforced that wall, Jew, Gentile. So the law and circumcision. And in Christ, what did he do? He tore down that wall. Now everybody's on the same, whether you're a Jew or Gentile. The Jews are not God's special people today. You know who are? The body of Christ. Right. Now they will be again after our dispensation's over, and then the rapture happens. And then the 7-year tribulation, when God will deal with Israel and the Gentile nations, and not holding back, long suffering, when he pours his wrath out, he's been holding back. I'm glad I ain't going to be there, man, because God's held it back for a couple thousand years now. And then time passed. That's before the dispensation of grace started. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Yet it didn't happen at the cross. It happened after Paul got saved and Christ revealed to him. Because it was known he was going to die, didn't he? Isaiah chapter 53, didn't he prophesy that? People love today, were healed by his stripes, right? But who'd Isaiah say that he was going to die for? His people. Who was his people?
The Jew.
The Jew, the nation Israel. Nothing about the Gentiles there. See, people want to read progressive revelation. Now through Paul, they want to read back there. Oh no, it wasn't revealed back there. You know, so you got time past where so how do you know when you're in time past? There's the laws in effect. There's a difference between Jew and Gentile. What about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Jesus said, "I didn't come do it with away with the law." Jesus said, "I wasn't sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Right? Isn't there a little difference there? Who is Peter even in Pentecost? He's preaching to Jews. There might have been a couple proselytes here and there, but they had become Jews. Now today there's neither Jew or Gentile. God set that nation aside with the stoning of Stephen, and temporarily, I always say temporarily, because most teaching you'll hear today is that God set them aside, and they say at the cross. But why after the cross is Peter offering them the kingdom and Acts chapter 3. See, just let the scriptures teach us. So you got time past, and you know when you're in time past. So when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's time past. When you're reading Pentecost, and before Paul saved, that's time past. But now, the dispensation of grace, when you read Paul's epistles, you're in the age we live in. That's where we find our promises and instructions. And then after the rapture, you see that in verse 7, that in the ages to come, see, that's future. So you rightly divide your word. Time passed, the chart on the back of the church. Time passed, but now ages to come. And that's where God divides. Because Scripture says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, what? Needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word, right? So there's divisions. So we're not making the divisions. We're looking and studying to find out where God made the divisions. And then we apply that. So we can what? Get a big head? So we can rip up somebody who don't rightly divide? No. It's so we can know what God's will is today. So we don't mix programs. So we get protected. You know how it talks about put the helmet of salvation on, you know, protecting your mind. So Satan can't use them wiles against us and devices to take the word of God and just mix it all together. God divides it. We look where he said, and then we divide it that way. And then so we can learn what his will and his purpose is for the body of Christ today. But anyways, for all eternity, God's grace will be shown in us. Praise God. We're God's trophies, you know that? I never really won a trophy, but I am a trophy. I guess that's better, right?
Yeah.
I got certificates, but never won a trophy. So grace, it's a gift of favor apart from any question of merit or demerit. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved. Now some versions will say you have been saved. And you say, well, one's right, one's wrong. Ooh, they're corrupt. No, they're both right. Because in the Greek, it's in the perfect tense. It means it happened one time with continuing results. So you were saved and you continue to be saved. So, by grace, how were you saved? By grace. I'm sorry. Yeah. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So for our Calvinist friends who would say, if it depends on man, then faith is a work. No. Because it said not by works, and it said you're saved by grace. See, grace saved us. And God demonstrated his what? Love in this? While we're still sinners, Christ Jesus died. Faith is just the instrument we receive actually all God's blessings, spiritual life, salvation. So it's not that you're saved through faith, because what they would say is God places these little stardust sprinkling down in your heart, and all of a sudden he's going to save some, the elect, you know. When you think of election, I want you to think of service. Because they would say God elected some to salvation. That means they can be saved. Well, you know, there's elect angels. So were they saved? Christ didn't die for angels. Do you know Christ is called God's elect in the Old Testament? Israel is called his elect because he would serve God. So election is the idea of service. So, for by grace you are saved through faith, and God desires all men, all women, all children to be saved, not just some. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. So it's not the faith. Faith comes what? By hearing, hearing by the word. I guess you could say that that's a gift too. But it's not the gift is what God gave. It's we're saved. There's a gift. And it's by grace through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So, did we merit it? Did we merit to stay saved? We have been saved. We're continuing. No. We let God down, don't we? Yeah. Every day I do. Yeah. But praise God for his grace. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it's of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So when, you know, the idea of one big religion says, oh yeah, you're saved by grace. God gives you the grace to do the works. But see, if you had to do one thing, if you had to lift your baby finger, that Jesus did 99%, but until you lift your baby finger, you would be saving yourself. Right. See how subtle Satan is? He gives you the grace so you can do the works and you'll be saved. No, Christ did it all. If it's grace, it ain't works. So you can't mix it. See how logical Paul is? Reasonable? Clear. Right. You're saved by grace through faith, not by works. If it's works, it ain't grace. If it's grace, it ain't work. So don't try and mix the two together, Christendom. Romans 4:4-5. Now to him that worketh, so somebody trying to work for salvation, for acceptance with God. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned a grace, but a debt. So what do people think when they're trying to work for salvation? They're, you know, they're working to serve God and working to stay saved. So when something happens, what do they think?
They're not saved anymore?
They think God owes them some. Yeah, and they would think they're not saved anymore too, because, hey, if I got to work. And where do they go to? Mr. John MacArthur, Mr. Lordship Salvation, the Pope of the Lordship Salvationists. He writes some things that are good. He did Charismatic Chaos, which I thought was very good. He went through the scriptures on it. But he mixes law and grace. And he'll say, if you ain't got works, you ain't saved. And where do you get that from? It's in the Bible.
James.
Yeah. Faith without works is dead. Who's James writing to?
The dispersed Jews.
Yeah, to the Jews and the dispersed. To the nation Israel. Not to the body of Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, remember when Paul met with Peter, James, John, that seemed to be pillars, but Paul said, I wasn't impressed with them. I love that about Paul. You know, because it can be intimidating to meet some big shots, you know. And what did he say? When they perceived the grace that was given to me, the gospel to what? The uncircumcision. As the gospel to the circumcision, Peter. It wasn't the same gospel. That's two different ones. People say, oh, they're preaching just a different... No, it isn't. One to un. If it's seven up, it's un-cola. If it's cola,
it's cola.
It's cola. It's not un-cola.
Right.
Now, they're both colas, but they're different.
Right.
Peter had a gospel that Christ gave him in the 12. The other 11, I'm sorry. And then Christ gave Paul when that program was being set aside. So, I said, now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So people think God owes them heaven. Actually, one of the early church fathers, I can't think of his name, he says that if you're working, God owes you. You should hear some of this garbage in the early church fathers. You know, somebody will say, my old pastor, they said, did you ever read any of the early church fathers? And he said, I got earlier church fathers, the book of Galatians. What were they falling into? Paul said, I'm astounded. You're so soon removed from him who called you, right? Who was that? Paul. His apostleship. And what? His message. What? Grace. Pure grace. And what? To another gospel. What were they falling back under? A mixture of law and grace. The prophetic program and a little bit of the mystery to make it kind of nice and, you know, a nice little bit of un-cola mixing with their cola, you know. So, says, but to him that worketh not. See, you don't work for your salvation. Now, I do want to say one thing. Once we're saved, works will not keep you saved. It's always what Christ did. So, but God wants to do some works through us. It's agape. The work, what Paul writes to Thessalonians, the labor of love, the labor of faith and the work of love. So it's God who works in us. See, it's Him in us. It's not us trying to produce it to Him. It's Him in us trying to produce it inwardly and outwardly. So God wants to do some works, but it's a labor of love. You see, love, faith, and hope there, right? So God wants to do some things in us.
And we are created unto good works.
Exactly. It says we're God's workmanship.
Right.
So who's doing the creating there? God. We're created unto good works. God wants to do some good things through us.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to love our enemies. He wants us to share the gospel. He wants us not to quit, but to endure, to persevere when there is trials and tribulations, and not quit because Satan throws some things our way. Because remember, first he tries to discredit the message by what? Revelation knowledge?
Yeah.
Israel's program? Dreams? Visions? That are, they would say, is equal revelation with the Word of God? So if he can't do that, now he wants to discredit the messenger. The one who's standing that didn't fall for the error. Now he wants to pressure you to shut you up. But praise God. We just keep praying as Paul prayed that God would give us boldness, right? And not worry. If we go through things because Satan's going to throw things our way, what's it say when you think you have a heavenly perspective? Paul said, our light afflictions. Anything Satan can throw away, it ain't busting a grape. It might seem like a time. I can think of some things when I just felt so beat down, right? But God kept me going. No temptation's overtaken us. What? That's common to man. God's faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Did it say He'll just take it away? No. But with the temptation or trial, will make a way that you may be able to escape or endure it. Right? To endure. To go through. Paul said trials and tribulations produce what? Perseverance. Endurance. Character. It builds the character of Christ. Instead of being believers that are just so weak when Satan gives you a slap. You know, I'm from the hood. So, I used to watch sometime, you know, guys, bullies, come up to some dude, crack them, and all of a sudden they just crumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Are they at school? You know, I went to this Montefiore. It was a school. I didn't go to school, but a lot of them were in there for carrying guns to school, beating up teachers. You know, I just didn't go to school. And I remember the one guy would tell the guy, "Give me your token and dime." And you see the kid just, "Oh, here." I'm just looking, because I grew up in the toughest neighborhood, one of them in Chicago, right across from Cook County Jail. And I'd watch guys that, they would intimidate them or give them a crack and they just crumble. Now they just walk all over them, you know. And sometimes that's what Satan does. He tries to bully us, you know. He's got a lot of time to study the human race, right? He knows what kind of works. Look at Paul. I'm sure he got discouraged at times. He's preaching this gospel of grace. He gets thrown in jail. He's beaten, left for dead. You know, his back's all shredded, I think five times what they did to the Lord. And I'm sure sometimes he started, Satan would, "It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Why? You're doing good, and look what God lets happen to you," you know. But that, Paul said, it don't, and our light afflictions, right? Thinking of that eternal weight, exceeding weight of glory. Well, we're going to have there, and not only there, because, you know, it's not just when we get to heaven. It's now God, Romans 8:28, God's working all things to our good, isn't he? For there, because at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, not for our salvation, that's a white throne judgment after the 1,000-year, after the rapture, the 7-year tribulation, there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Then unbelievers will go before the great white throne judgment. For believers at the rapture, we get our rewards. And we're going to, man, it's going to be such, what a rejoicing that day will be, right? And that's what we have to keep in our mind, you know. But even now, it's going to work for our good then. God works it now. God is working. It didn't just say he's gonna. He is right now. And if you read the verses after that, how's he working? Everything, he conforms us into the image of Christ. That's God's will for us in the dispensation of grace. In the body of Christ, every member, he wants us to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind through the Word of God, rightly divided. So we're more, you know, Paul talks about behold, as we're beholding Christ, he says that that veil of the law, that legalism, that performance is taken away. He says, like in a mirror, we behold Christ. What's behold mean? Hold and keep beholding. And it said we're transformed into that image. See, as we're focused on Christ, we're not focused on us and all of our failures or other people or Satan or whatever. We're focused on him, and we're taking, how do you get like that? Getting into the Word, right? The Word of God that worketh in you gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. And we think, and we're growing in grace, and we're thinking about all these blessings. It just makes you want to serve God. And it makes you want to tell some other people about them, you know? Like, nobody shouldn't have to say, "You need this week to share the gospel with some people. When you're going on the bus, what about that person sitting next to you? They're going to hell and it's your fault. Shame on you. Maybe you're going to hell too." You know what I mean? Pressure and fear and, you know. Nobody had to tell me to share Christ when I got saved. Man, we love him because he first loved us. I just loved God and responded to his grace before they started pumping the legalism into me. And it was a shame then. Then I had fear and I had works of the flesh trying to do it on my own, you know. But when you love someone, anybody got grandkids or your own kids, or especially grandparents, my mom, you didn't have to ask her to show you pictures, you know, of her grandkids. She's like, whether you want to see them or not, oh, she ain't going to ask. Let me show you. You know, I love these kids. Look at, and everybody's like, okay, it's a cute picture, but I don't want to, you want me to get out the film too? You know, it's like, when you love somebody, when somebody falls in love with somebody, right? They won't shut up. Because they love them and they're on their mind, right? And you know, you're like, well, that's cute, you know, or that's nice. But then after a while, Easy. I got other things. You know? But that's when you're focused on Christ and you love Him because He first loved you, you're going to be talking about Him. You're going to be one. And His love in you, that agape love, is going to be sharing even with people you don't like. Because it's agape, unconditional, the way God loved. God didn't like us before we were saved. He loved us. He didn't like what we were doing. Do you know God likes you now? Because He sees you in Christ. Something to like. So let me see, did I finish that? But to him that, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. So is it the person who stops doing all their sins and commits their life to Christ or asks Christ in their heart or tries to keep the Ten Commandments or starts speaking in tongues? Well, you know, add whatever you want to it. No, God justifies the ungodly, the one that realized they're a sinner, ungodly, and I can't save myself. His faith is counted for righteousness. He trusts in Christ. God declares him righteous. He takes Christ. God made him who knew no sin to what? Become sin for us, that we might what? Become the righteousness of God. Do you know if you're in Christ, you're the righteousness of God? As righteous as God is, as righteous as Christ is, that's how God sees you. Because you're covered in His righteousness. And it's all by grace. So God's grace finds its greatest triumph and glory in the spirit of human helplessness. What's does that sound like what's being taught today? We'll glorify God by what our church is doing. We got these ministries and we're doing this and we're giving to the poor and you know, we got ministries for drug addicts, we got ministries for sex addicts, we got ministries for midgets, we got ministries, you know, and the thing is, this Word of God ministers to everybody. You don't need a bunch of different. Now, I don't see no problem sometimes as having a specific ministry sometimes, but when you start thinking you need a ministry for every sin, and call it sin, not isms, you know. If we apply this Word of God and rightly divide it, what will happen? It frees us, right? It frees us from things. Where is that here now? Romans 8. I'm sorry, Romans 5, 6. Start at 6. For when we were yet without strength, see? We couldn't do anything. We were sinners, right? Couldn't change that. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Look at that again. Ungodly, sinners. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. You know what that's the idea of? The Pharisee. That's self-righteous. You say, ooh, they're very religious. The ones who look down on everybody. Scarcely will somebody die. I always joke around saying, you know what, I don't like people who think they're better than other people. So somebody like that, you know, the bus is coming and if he starts to trip a little bit, now in my flesh I might want to bump him right in front of the bus. Save him? For my life? No. But look at this. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. That's somebody you know that's a really good person, you know. That's the one you might dare to die for. But God commendeth or demonstrates His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, when did that happen? When you trusted He shed His blood for you, for your sins. We're justified, declared righteous by His blood, not by our performance. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. God will not punish us. We're not going to go through the 7-year tribulation that God poured out His wrath. And in this life now, God is not punishing you because He's angry and got wrath towards you. For if when we were enemies, see, today it's better news for sinners that say, if they get the gospel right, all I got to do is trust Christ died for your sins, right? And some churches will have that right. Charles Stanley, my old pastor, say nobody presents a gospel more clear than Stanley, but he's got, because he don't rightly divide, some other issues, but he presents that clear. But it's real good news. Just trust in Christ. All right, once you trust in Christ, but now you got to do this, got to do that, you know. That's my old pastor said, you win them, you wet them, and you whip them. That's what he was taught in cemetery. Oh, I mean seminary. you know, I meant seminary or cemetery. So much, while we were still sinners, nine, much more than being now justified, declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So how does he reconcile people? Through the death of his son. Much more. I love Paul's much more. That's the Holy Spirit's much more. That's God's much more. See, the gospel, you hear full gospel churches, they call themselves, right? You know why? They should say full legalism churches. They're not much more. It's a much less gospel. Not just in the full gospel, but in you're hearing today, it's a much less gospel. Paul's got a much more. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So, because Christ has said, our message is what? We're ambassadors in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, towards the end of the chapter. It says, we're ambassadors of Christ, as though God were speaking to us. He says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. And what's his message? So, be reconciled to God. We should be telling people, Christ died for your sins. God's right now not holding them against you. But that's not salvation. See, because he dealt with the sin issue, so anyone can come for what? Life and righteousness. See, because someone's sins were, Christ died for everyone's sins, right? But they're still spiritually dead. And they're still unjustified. They're still in Adam. So when he made that way, see, he took out a barrier. So now they can come just by faith, by grace to faith, right? And then God would declare you righteous. And it says that justification unto life. That word here, you're not saved by Christ dying for someone. You're saved by life. Is the gospel just Christ died for you?
What?
He died according to the scriptures. He was buried. And he rose again, right? Said if he didn't rise, we're still in our sins, Paul said in the same chapter. So see, it's in the resurrection, the restoration of life. Right? Christ died, he was restored to life. For us, we lost our life in Adam, the life God, when he breathed in the breath of life in the man. It was God in the man, expressing himself out of the man. He was a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And so when Adam sinned, the Spirit of God left him. So Christ now made a way, dealt with the sins, so someone can come to receive justification and life. And it's a permanent justification. It's not a band-aid. And that word, we shall be saved by his life. So what do we say by his life? That word in the Greek is Z-O-E, Zoe. It's the same quality of life that God has. We don't become God, but we receive the life of God in us by His Spirit. And just like Adam had it but lost it, now we receive it, and what do we got better than Adam? We can't lose it. Why? Because Christ dealt with the sins once for all. So sin will never come in between us and God again in God's eyes. Now sin can come in between maybe us wanting to go to God. You know, if we're focused on that, and Satan will use it, our flesh will use it. You know, but it's not, God's always, the Holy Spirit's always working in us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. Let's go to one more verse and then we're going to end. Grace ceases to be grace if God is compelled to withdraw it because of human failure for sin. Galatians 5:4. This is Paul's telling someone who got saved but got under legalism and performance. Got under the law, which the law is what? You do. You don't. Right? Don't do, do. You. It demanded. So this is a believer who's got themselves under, whether it's the law or what about your own legalism? You know, our expectations of ourselves. You know? Go to verse 3. For I testify again to everyone that is circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. See, the law, James said, if you break at least one of these, you broke them all. The law demands perfection. Right? Christ is, so if you're trying to get yourself under law or performance, Christ has become of no effect. And that word in the Greek, it means to be rendered, made inactive, of no effect. That unto you, whosoever of you who are justified by the law, what's that mean? They're attempting to be justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. See why it's so important to rightly divide the word? So Christ, if not, if we get under law, it will be works of the flesh, carnal, plastic fruit, no life in it, busy but barren. So we rightly divide the word so we can understand, so Christ can be effective in us, through us. Because the Holy Spirit, is, it says, He's not leading us on the law. So get yourself under a performance-based system, Holy Spirit is not going to produce fruit. Get yourself under grace, a dependent system where I can do it. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, this life I live in this body. Right? I live by the faithfulness Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. No longer I live, but Christ. That's grace. So we'll end with that. I don't want to keep going. But thanks for listening so well. I hope it's been encouraging to you. I know grace is always encouraging. I don't know if I'm the best teacher, but I don't depend on myself. The Word of God doesn't come back void. And as if anything, if I whet your appetite to look more into these things, or someone maybe through the internet, you know, maybe not really heard of grace or right division and the unconditional love of God, you know, that dependence on Christ, that they'll look into that. Because when I first heard about it, there was something in me, as the Holy Spirit convicting my heart that it's truth. You know, it's your new nature, and the Holy Spirit is like, this is true, you know. And you research it through the Word of God yourself. And then you know it for yourself, not because somebody else said it. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, first I want to thank you, Lord. I heard that, I got to think of his name now, passed away, the one who started I believe he was one of the first missionaries in the Philippines. I can't think of his name offhand, but you know who he is. And I thank you for what you did in his life, God. What an example he was to other believers. How he finished his race as Paul, because he taught the word rightly divided, and he took that to the Philippines. And I just thank you for him, Father, for that legacy. And I pray for us, Lord, that are still somewhat young, and for younger people, that you fill our hearts with such a desire, God, such a passion to share the mystery, to stand for it no matter what happens, what Satan brings our way, that we would stand with Paul, with Christ, and that Christ in us would produce out of us what only He can do. His Spirit, His life, expressing Himself through our personalities. What a blessing, God. We can just be ourselves and let Him be Himself. And we can just love people. We don't got to be a fake and act like we're perfect, because they couldn't even relate to us then. And we can be humble, Lord, because even if you're doing good things through us, we know it's you doing it. And we're just having a chance to be blessed to be used by you. I pray, Father, for those who came out, that you would just take what's taught from your word, Father, them truths, and ingrain them deep in their minds and their hearts, and that they would just look more into this themselves, and that they would know because your word taught them and through your Holy Spirit, and that they would be emboldened to share this with others, Father. And if there's one who's never trusted in you, Lord, maybe through the internet or through the CD ministry, I pray that they would see that it's not by works, it's not by turning from all their sins, because we can never do that. It's not by walking an aisle or asking Jesus in your heart. Though when we do trust in your Son, your Spirit does come in and dwell our inner man, our most inner heart. But you didn't say to ask, you said to believe that Christ died for our sins personally. Not just to know the fact, but to trust in that. And that you would declare them at that moment, it's not a feeling, but it's knowing, because your word says, completely righteous forever. And then you can give them spiritual life, eternal, not probation. And to all things to you be the glory, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So thanks to you guys for coming out and encouraging me. It would be kind of boring if nobody was here and I was preaching to the pews, you know. That I guess they would say that would be a
practice.
Now let me get this thing.